Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Tuesday, March the 19th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we are reading in the Big Book. We're on page 9 of Bill's story, and we're the 6th paragraph down at the bottom of the page. He had come to pass his experience through that one paragraph at the top of the next page, ending with, "I had to be, for I was hopeless." And the comments will be on that paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, J&L, the 12 Traditions, Joanne L. The readers of the text are Shelley E., Liz A., and Dawn B. The share ID for Monday, March 18th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 21,233. That's 21233. And for this morning's meeting, Tuesday, March 19th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 21235. That's 21,235. Our newcomer greeter is Diane B., and our announcements person is Robin P. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Jan L. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Jan. Press star 1 to unmute, Jan.
Oh, sorry. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your service, Mo, and everyone else. Here are the 12 steps. I'm Jan L. from Florida. Number 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you very much, Jan L. I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Joanne.
Oh, good morning, Mo. Thank you very much for your service again, and thank you to everybody on the line, especially the newcomers. I am Joanne L. from Rhode Island, and I am recovering one day at a time. One, our common welfare, this is the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself, and our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other group or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. In 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you very much, and I pass.
Well, thank you very much, Joanne L. from Rhode Island. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on in Bill's story on page 9. It's the 6th paragraph down at the bottom of the page. He had come to pass his experience, and it ends on the top of the next page with, I had to be, for I was hopeless. And I will now ask Shelley E. to begin reading for us. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, Mo. Good morning, Mo Fellows. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. The Big Book, page 9. He had come to pass his experience along to me, if I cared to have it. I was shocked, but interested. Certainly I was interested. I had to be, for I was hopeless. I'm really excited that I have this paragraph. I was thinking about this in the first meeting, and my Abby was very smart. I had gone to dinner with her, of course, and she just mentioned to me something she was doing. And I thought, yeah, just another thing. You know, I've tried so many things, and I thought, I just don't think that's going to work for me. But she just planted the seed, which was so effective, because had she gone into all of it and maybe what it entailed and everything, I probably would not have had a thirst or a hunger to ask for more. I had tried so many things, and I didn't even realize how hopeless I was. I do know that my family members realized it. I had family members in program, and my daughter kept asking me, not in OA, but in different program, and she kept asking me, why don't you come with me to a meeting? And I thought, oh, that's so nice. She just wants me to come and support her. And I did go a couple of times, but I never identified, and I never felt like she had me there for what might have helped me. But anyways, long story short, I did end up calling my Evie and saying, can't do it anymore, cannot do it anymore. It's no longer weight. And I have lost over 160 pounds, but it wasn't even that. I knew I could lose weight, but it was the crazy thinking, the wondering when I could get a loan, where I was going to get that next bite. And not only that, it was, is this chair going to hold me? Am I going to have to ask for an extension on an airplane? I don't want to go anywhere. I wanted to stay home. So I was hopeless. I absolutely was hopeless. I not only had all of those thoughts, I also was not suicidal, but I didn't care if I lived or died, if that made sense. I was just along for the ride, and I thought, well, you know, I feel like I've done everything. I don't care if I die. I'm not going to kill myself. Although, guess what? I was killing myself. I was slowly killing myself with food. So I'll forever be grateful for my Abby, who did just open the door and give a little glimpse of light to me, but allowed me to open the door wider. And I had no idea what was in store for me. And I'm grateful every day for my fellows who help me as I have little glitches during the day that I might need to call and have them straighten me out and call me on my BS. And most certainly I'm grateful for higher power that carries me through the day and helps me be more the person that he would want me to be. Anyways, with that, I pass and I look forward to what everybody else has to say.
Thank you very much. Perfect timing. Okay, let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 9 of Bill's stories. We're down at the bottom. He had come to pass his experience along to me. And it is at the top of page 10. I had to be, for I was hopeless. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last 3 days, you can share today. Who would like to share?
I'm Stella Jean M.
Whoa. Go ahead again.
Beth,
I'm Della
E. from Pennsylvania. Sorry.
Beth? Did I hear Beth? Beth.
I'm
Thank
Della
you.
Jean.
Okay. Della Jean. Okay, got you, Della.
Ronnie B. in Washington.
Ronnie.
Yes.
Who was after Ronnie? I heard somebody else after Ronnie.
Stephanie S., Washington.
Stephanie S. I got you, Stephanie. Anyone else?
Joan Marie M.
I got you, Joan. Joan Marie M. Okay, I'll give you the lineup that I have. I have Beth. I have Della Jean. I don't have your last initials. You can give them to me. I have Ronnie B. I have Stephanie S. And I have Joan Marie M. Let's go with that one. And is there anyone else right now?
Amy W.
Amy W. Okay, I'll add you, Amy, and we'll stop there. And I will now, everybody, mute your line except for Beth. We'll start with Beth. Good morning, Beth.
Good morning. This is Beth V., gratefully recovered in Pennsylvania, north of Philadelphia. This paragraph brings to light for me, first, I see that Ebby was working his program by carrying the message. And then goes on to say that Bill was shocked, but he was interested. And he repeats that word, interested, and states that he had to be interested because he was truly hopeless. And to me, this is very strong, powerful words here. And even though Bill may not have had the best intentions just then, because he had said earlier that he had enough alcohol to last through this visit, and he was planning to drink, but he states that he was perhaps interested enough to listen. And I take Bill at his word here, thinking that perhaps there was just a tiny crack of light in his psyche, a little bit of his higher power shining in, getting through to him. And, you know, that little crack, that little bit of sunlight of the spirit is a powerful thing. And can even a crack of light can break down the barricades and blockages that Bill had, and maybe, you know, get through the insanity and the wreckage that he was presently in, and planting a seed of hope. So this feels like a really big, important moment to me, what's happening right that in that sentence. And I feel like this happened to me as well, because when I was in my deepest part of the disease this past year, I did become interested somehow, open to suggestions that I heard on Vision, and all the recovered voices that I hear every day. And something that I heard got to me deeply, and I understood clearly then that I have this disease, and that this disease had me in its clutches, and I was lost somewhere in it again, and trapped. And so, you know, here I was, you know, a crack of light, something is showing me the way out. And that's you, all of you on the line. And somebody said, this is the way, and that I better be interested at last or else. So I had to make the decision to follow the way out. And so here I am, 2 months of abstinence after a diagnosis of cancer last year, which threw me for a loop. Very grateful to be back, and I will pass with that. Thank you all.
And thank you, Beth V. from Pennsylvania. Della Jean, followed by Ronnie B. Della Jean, give me your last initial and state you're calling from. Press star 1 to unmute.
It's Della Jean Mary. I'm sorry, Della Jean M., like in Mary, from Idaho.
Thank you. Okay, thank you very much.
I came to OA the first time 46 years ago. I hadn't been for about 10 years, and went to the doctor at 77, and I weighed 238, my highest weight. I've always been afraid of having to end up in a nursing home. And I knew that if I didn't get this weight off, I was going to end up in a nursing home. I immediately knew that OA was my only hope, and tried to find it. And I've lost some of my vision, and there was no in-person meetings anymore. And I found the telephone meetings and wondered about that. But now I really, really like them. I have to say I like the phone meetings better than the in-person meetings. And I've struggled with staying on my food plan, but I am down to 168. And I know my only hope is OA and God. And that's all. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Della Jean. Glad you're here. Up next is Ronnie B., followed by Stephanie S. Good morning, Ronnie.
Thank you. Ronnie B. in Missouri, gratefully recovering in this program. Compulsive overeater for sure. Just when the reading said, or somebody said, that was my Ebby, and I was trying to all of a sudden reflect on, oh, what was my Ebby coming into this program, you know, being a bunch of programs. I just never looked at it that way. And it was a woman actually that I was sponsoring in another program that I must have just been talking, I thought casually talking about this compulsion with eating, you know, and getting up in the middle of the night and eating and gaining weight and vending machine stuff. But, I almost thought it was kind of funny, right? Like, oh, I'm going to the vending machine, and then I can't get away from the vending machine. But I never thought for a million years that she would equate that with this disease. Having sponsored her and in another program, she was telling me that she's in this program and she's lost 100 pounds. And I thought, well, I don't have 100 pounds to lose, but it was steadily creeping up. And before you knew it, it was 40 pounds. And so she said, why don't you just try, maybe, are you interested? You know, she didn't push, nothing was pushed. And so here I was sponsoring someone in another program, and she 12-stepped me into this program. And the minute I was serious about this program and went in with an open mind, I was just stunned that I'm like, oh my gosh, I do that. And the identification was pretty immediate. And that was once I stopped comparing. I had to stop comparing. I used to hear this in other programs. Don't compare, identify. And when I compared, I didn't belong in this program in my mind, because I didn't have the 100 pounds to lose. And I loved holding on to that thought, because if I held on to the thought of I don't have 100 pounds to lose, then I don't belong in this program. When I start identifying the compulsion, the horrific compulsion, the jumping up from my desk to get to that vending machine, wearing different clothes, thinking people aren't going to notice if I wear dark colors and a size larger, and you know, but that's not true. And I know it's not true, because when I see people today doing that, I'm like, you know, it doesn't really do much to hide the weight. But I didn't see that at the time. And so I'm just grateful that I had someone gently guide me. And she didn't push. She just said, if you're interested, I'd be happy for you to come to a meeting or we can go together. And I don't remember exactly what we did at. But I do know I'm from New York, and I worked in Manhattan, and there were a ton of meetings. It's like, and this is like 40 years ago, by the way, and a ton of meetings. And so I loved it, and I started getting very active in that program. And then before you knew it, I had a different way of eating time. Okay, anyway, that's all I have. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, Ronnie B. Up next is Stephanie S., followed by Joan Marie M. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. This is Stephanie S. from Washington State, and this paragraph jumped out at me. I could identify. I think he was surprised that Ebby would come to New York just for that reason, if I'm understanding history correctly. And I think he was like, wow, okay. You know, and he said he was hopeless. And I remember meeting my Ebby, and I thought, I need her. I need her help. I'm hopeless. And my other friend introduced me, and I'm like, okay, can you help us? And she was like, sure. And it ended up, it just was me who was really hopeless and ready, I guess. But my Ebby, every day, just talking and understanding and learning. And just, I mean, it was definitely perfect timing for me, because I was hiding the food. I was stashing it in all these places. And, you know, people were finding my wrappers and my boxes and all these things. So I was just so deep in my food, and I knew I needed something bigger than just another program that you can pay for. It's like I need a higher power. So anyway, that's my story, and yeah, thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Stephanie S. Up next is Joan Marie M., and followed by Amy W., and after Amy, we'll take another lineup of names. Good morning, Joan Marie.
Good morning, Mo. Am I being heard?
Yes, you are. A little bit louder if you can.
Okay. Is that better?
Yep.
Okay, great. I'll try to shout. That's what it sounds like to me when I talk louder. Okay, so it's here where you see that Evie was working his program. He was carrying the message of recovery, of hope. And certainly I needed to hear that. I was hopeless. I remember in the beginning, I've been around a long time, and I remember in the beginning I bumped into my friend and her daughter. And it was about 2 weeks later that we met again. And she later, my friend told me, her daughter said, "What happened to Joan Marie? Looks like somebody pumped her up." And that was only in 2 weeks. It just was hopeless. I could not stop. And I'm so grateful today for recovery. And also that this program does work, but it takes work. And I've had a little bit of a flu, so I have a little foggy voice today, but I'm trying to be louder and clearer. I'm so grateful for this program, and I certainly want to carry the message of hope, because it is a disease of isolation and hopelessness and despair. But when you come into vision and you hear all the stories of recovery, it brings hope. It brings joy. If they can do it, I can do it too. All I have to do is follow the spiritual gift, the spiritual kit of recovery, having a relationship with a God of my understanding who's grateful and stronger and mightier than me, who has all power. I was powerless. I tried everything possible to beat this thing, and I couldn't. Only through the power of God that I was able to recover, and I'm so grateful, and I want to carry that message of hope. If I could do it, a chronic relapser, a chronic overeater, you can too. There's hope here. Do the work, keep your eyes open, your heart open, and you will receive that gift too. And with that, I pass.
Oh, thank you, Joan Marie, very much. Get well quick. Before I take Amy W., let me remind everybody where we're at. We're in Bill's story. We're on page, we're on page 9. Turned my page. He had to come, and it starts with at the bottom of the page, he had come to pass his experience, and it ends at the top of page 10 with, I had to be, for I was hopeless, and after Amy, I will take another lineup of names. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, and thank you, Amy W., compulsive overeater in Riverside, California. Recovered today, yay. So many Evies for me that I missed. But one of the ones that I got was after COVID. We had an in-person meeting. So I just blasted everybody because I was going to lead it to tell them, hey, this in-person meeting, we got to show up. We could see each other again. Woohoo! So excited. And I was struggling big time. I had done vision and relapsed from vision. I know. It happened. But wanted to get back in person. I thought that was the ticket. So Everybody came in, everybody signed in. It was a big table. There must have been 15 people there. I looked around. Okay, most of the people I knew, people started to talk. And we did our writing, and this man spoke. And I looked at him, and I'm like, gosh, what is, I know this guy from somewhere. I know him. Where do I know this guy? You know, you get that feeling, oh, did I meet him, I don't know, in church or anywhere but in an OA meeting, right? And he spoke, and so the sign-in sheet came back around, and I looked, and I matched everybody in order, and it got to that person, and that person was Blake. How could that be? The last time I saw this person, he was over 500 pounds, and this was a person in a normal-sized body, and we'd only had COVID for a couple of years, and oh, my God, he and I would stand in the parking lot and laugh. We're going to keep coming back, but we're the bottom feeders. Yeah, that's us. We're so special, bottom feeders. Now, yeah, but we're going to come back because we're going to get our miracle. And there he was, 250 pounds lighter. And I lost it in the meeting. I just started crying because I knew at that moment, if a bottom feeder like him, that God had that for me too. And I'm shaking. Because it took 25 years in program to get that. And here's to all the Ebbies and here's to all the Blakes. Keep coming back. Keep coming back. And I pass.
And thank you very much, Amy W. from California. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So, haven't shared in the last 3 days, you could share today. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
Barbara E. in New Jersey.
Gotcha, Barbara.
Dawn B.
Gotcha, Dawn.
Eileen M.
Eileen M. I got you, Eileen. Eileen M. Okay, so I have Barbara E., Dawn B., Eileen M. Got anybody else for this lineup? Okay, not hearing anybody. Was that somebody?
I'm Janice K.
Janice K. I got you, Janice.
There was someone else who spoke to.
Yeah. Who was that after you, Janice?
Natalie somebody F.
Natalie. Got you, Natalie. Thank you. All right, then we'll stop there. All right. So we have Barbara E., Dawn B., Eileen M., Janice K., and Natalie S. All right. Everyone mute except Barbara. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning, Mo, and thank you for your service, and thank you, everyone, for your beautiful, inspirational shares. Well, release whatever doesn't bless you. That was part of my meditation reading this morning. And it struck me that OA has helped me to do this by releasing over 100 pounds. But I can't say I haven't had my slips, my little detours along the way, but I never gave up. I always stuck to the program because I knew that without it, I would die. Certainly, this disease wanted me to die or wanted me to suffer. I've been able to release physical weight before. Of course, I'm a diet veteran who knows how to read food labels, and I'm a sucker for anything that promises I can lose 30 pounds in 30 days. I could certainly gorge myself to gain that much, but it never came off very fast. So what was this time? Well, I crawled into Overeaters Anonymous. I listened to what they had to say. They said, stick around for six meetings. At that time, they said, stick around for six meetings. And if you're still miserable and you still don't think this is right for you, we'll refund your misery. So I got my Ebby, thank goodness. A woman walked over to me at the halftime break and said, "Are you new? Would you like me to take your hand and show you what's going on around here?" And she took me gently but firmly through the program because she didn't believe in bullshit. She was honest, but she was kind. So what is different? This program has allowed me to focus on my emotional and spiritual health and to express and release the sense of hopelessness I felt when I attended those first meetings. I heard, focus on working the steps. That's where you'll encounter your higher power and receive the gift of abstinence and right living. And I thought my higher power was my refrigerator, because the light was always on when I tiptoed down in the middle of the night, and it always spoke to me in a snarky voice saying, "Eat whatever you want, Barbara." But now I know my refrigerator is not a danger. It's not my higher power. It's just there to house the food and keep the food there that nourishes me. So I've joined the meetings. I go to meetings. I know the circle of life says I've got to reach out for help, and I've got to reach out to make help, to do help. And that's what Ebby did for Bill, and Bill passed it on. So in many religions, there is a symbol, a circle. Sometimes it's an egg. And that's what it is, the circle of light, to reach out to help others. Thank you so much, Mo. Have a great day. I pass.
Thank you very much, Barbara E. from New Jersey. Dawn B., followed by Eileen M. Good morning, Dawn.
Good morning, Mo. This is Dawn B., recovered in Southern California. I am probably one of the slowest learners, and it took me almost 35 years. It was 34 years and some change before I was able to get abstinent for any length of period of time. And finally, I realized to the core of my being, just as it says in this paragraph, that I was hopeless. There is no other way out. And I got that message to the core of my being that this disease will kill me. My heart was doing strange things. I could barely walk up a flight of stairs. I had to do a lot of huffing and puffing and pausing to make it to the top of those stairs. And I knew that this would take me out. And there was no other way out for me but this program. And so I clearly identified my alcoholic foods and behaviors and put them down 100%. Those are now death to me. That's as wise as eating rat poison. It's as smart as drinking gasoline, my alcoholic foods. Those are death to me. And I began to work this program like my hair was on fire, and work this like my life absolutely depended on it, because it absolutely does. And that's what I did. I'm down over 120 pounds from my top weight. I'm at a normal body weight now. I don't need to lose any more weight. I feel 20 years younger. My brain works better. I was on anti-anxiety and depression medication. I'm able to be off that now. And I'm also a parent. I have 4 young adult children. 3 of them have autism. Both my sons are severe enough to where they may never be able to live on their own. The 2 that are higher functioning of my children have mental illness. And my husband is a cancer survivor on a feeding tube with ongoing chronic health issues. But the truth of the matter is, I am living a life beyond my wildest dreams. Not because my circumstances have changed, but because my attitude about my circumstances has been transformed through the working of the steps and through the relationship with my higher power. And it's a beautiful, beautiful way of life. I'm not white-knuckling it. I am not feeling like I'm under the water, holding my breath, can't wait to get above the water so I can breathe again. It is simply, I am happily abstinent, and it's simply the most loving thing I can possibly do for myself. And it's a beautiful way of life, and it's because of a power much greater than me, doing for me what I could not do for myself, and now it's been 12 years of abstinence. All thanks be to God. This program works, and I pass. Thank you.
And thank you very much, Dawn M. from California.
Dawn B.
Next is Eileen M., followed by Janice K. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning, Mo. This is Eileen M. Thank you so much for your service. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. And, yeah, I love this paragraph. The shares have been wonderful so far. So, you know, Bill is really, what he's doing is he's making the admission of hopelessness here. And, yeah, the sentence that struck me today reading this was, if I cared to have it. I think that's so important because, you know, we don't force the message on people, you know, is you have to want it. And, you know, it's really easy to say that you want this kind of recovery, but, you know, taking the action that's required is really a different story. You know, it requires complete surrender and just completely giving up to, you know, giving up my will. And, you know, I had to really surrender, you know, and do what it took to be free of the food obsession and to get that relationship with God, get that relationship with power. You know, someone said earlier, it is the power of God. It is not human power that got me here to a place of, you know, being happily abstinent. And, you know, if this was based on human power, I never would have been recovered. You know, I was just thinking about, you know, it's easy to say that you want this recovery, but you really have to be out of ideas. And I had to be out of ideas because it does not work if you aren't. Because, you know, half measures availeth nothing. That is the truth for me, anyway. You know, and this, as was shared earlier, is that, you know, this is a change from the inside out. It is not the other way around. And, you know, in this case, Ebby was his friend. You know, Ebby was a friend of Bill's from school. And, you know, I've noticed, you know, over the years is that, you know, to get recovered, you don't have to have a sponsor who is someone you know. It's just that anybody can sponsor you. It's that anybody who's had the problem solved can sponsor you. It's not about having the right sponsor. I have to tell you, for so many years, I thought it was about the right sponsor and the right food plan. And, you know, it's just so much more than that. So I'm so grateful to be here and to be on this vision line. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much, Eileen M. Now up next is Janice K., followed by Natalie S. Good morning, Janice.
Good morning, Mo. This is Janice K. in Oregon. A lot of the shares today have led me to think about, well, what is the nature of recovery? And in the last few years, I found myself, for one reason or another, leading a lot of meetings and reading through our standard literature. And one of the statements it makes in the opening is that physical, emotional, and spiritual recovery comes about by living and working the 12 steps of the OA program on a daily basis. And it's a long sentence, but it's true. We had, yesterday at noon, we had a meeting and we had a newcomer and a returnee who had been in relapse for years. And I wish I'd remembered this then instead of now, but why do I do this? I do this because I have a new life to protect. And my question on recovery is, am I the same physically? No. Spiritually? No. Emotionally? No. As I was when I began this program. I have a lot at stake. Who I am is on the table, and the game is in motion. Well, what happened? How does one recover? Not necessarily in any order. For me, I think there are three things. It's the grace of God, the help of a 12-step program, and doing it one day at a time. Just so that I have, you know, I am the stakes in this game. And I have a lot on the table. I'm thinking of it as a game table, my dears. Sorry. Okay. I think with that, I am going to pass. Thank you, Mo.
Thank you very much for your share. And up next and possibly last will be Natalie S. Good morning, Natalie.
Good morning, Mo, and thank you. So for me, what you all are sharing with me is a mini Ebby moment, if you will. I've been in the program just a little over a year and experienced a lot of different things in my life going through it. And what I've come to realize today is that I don't even realize sometimes when I am thinking disease thoughts. I had a conversation with a woman this morning that I was able to meet in OA, and she's recovered and she's walked the path before me. And for me, as a restrictor and over-exerciser who recently, like 2 weeks ago, got an injury that left me walking like an 80-year-old, and nothing against 80-year-olds, but if you think of a traditional 80-year-old, there I was. And it was demoralizing and humiliating. And she gave me a physical solution, which I followed because she had walked through that too and got open the doors. But when I don't even realize where my thinking, and I'll give you an example. So today I was scared to get on the scale because I haven't been able to exercise. I know God is asking me to lay it down. It's a new venture for me. I was so scared to do it because I felt inside I weighed a lot more, like in a week, like I had gained, I don't know, 20 pounds. But my clothes still fit the same way, but that's the disease of my mind. And so I was scared to death of this thing on the floor, and she said, call me and get on it with me. And I got on it, and she said, what does it say? And I said, it's the same. And I had no words. I had no words. I was flattened to the floor to say, God, everything all of these fellows, these mini Ebby moments are telling me is true. And I've been so cruel to myself. So what did I do next? Started berating myself for not making it to a meeting or to the church today to hear a special session. And when I was on the phone with her, she said, see how quickly we go back into that awful thinking? We lose the power over obsessing over one thing, and we do it in another. And it was a revelation for me to see how quickly I do that in all areas of my life. And it's uncomfortable, and I hate it. And I'm so grateful that now I have people I can call and reach out to help me and call me out on it lovingly and say, no, we're just a unique case, okay? We're all unique in the sense that our brain thinks this way. And to know that it's something that there is a solution for, and that in my discomfort, I can reach out to other people, to God, to just keep my mouth shut for 5 minutes and get that pause and then be restored to sanity. And so I did hear you. Thank you for the time warning. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Natalie S., and that's perfect timing to close our meeting. Thank you all who gave service today and gave shares today, small paragraph and powerful. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask Liz A. to read a vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. And it ends with, keep you until then. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. My name is Liz A., recovered compulsive overeater. A vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.